Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Best of the Past Week podcast for Saturday, May 14. I hope you're having a good weekend. Hope you're enjoying Magic Round. And if you missed any of the Big Breakfast, this is a great place to come because I've got a selection of some of the highlights from the past week. It's a bumper edition because there was so much to talk about. The Reds winning the Super Rugby AU Grand Final. We kick off with that. Got into a conversation about brawls at junior sport following that awful vision of that fight that happened at that junior footy game. Do you keep a body part in a jar? One of the many, many questions that was asked this week, including hardest thing to open. MG's on the show. He was at our Legends lunch. Mato and Margo caught up with him ahead of that. Also, weird things that have been stolen from you. All coming up and more. Enjoy.
Mato's thought on sport.
I tell you what, Saturday night, I can't go past that as the highlight of my weekend. The Reds, I went out there, had not been to a game of rugby this season, like at Suncorp Stadium, and went there because I've been watching from afar. Going into the grand final, they'd won 7, they've only lost 1, and I thought, this is going to be great.
I heard it was amazing, Mudder. They had 41,500 there.
Nearly 41,700 and something or other. It was like an origin. It was an aggressive, loud crowd. Normally rugby people are the most boring people who just sit there and cop at whatever the New Zealand teams give to us. But the crowd was confident on Saturday night. It was back. And I always say there's about 12,000 rusted on fans. No matter how many games the Reds lose, there'll still be 12,000 people will turn up.
They're not jumping off the bandwagon. They're on it for
life.
They're
the rock solid ones. But therefore, there's 30,000 people will go, they have a sniff and they go, what? The Reds going all right.
I can smell a win here.
I want part of that. I want to be in. So there were 42,000 there. It was tremendous. But the first half, it wasn't a classic game of rugby. There were errors, and I've seen them play. I've watched every Reds game, but I haven't been to the Suncorp to watch them. I've been watching it on TV. They've made so many errors on Saturday night in that first half. You went, Jesus, something strange here. They're nervous. There was too much expectation. The big crowds maybe put them off. They reckon that Brad Thorne, one of my favourite, well, he is my favourite body contact player of all time and his legacy of success everywhere. They reckon his halftime speech went something like this. We win the moment and trust your mate and everyone do your job and this will be okay.
Simple
win
stuff.
The moments. Mm. Win the moments. Don't look at 40 minutes. Look at the next thing you can get up and do, and that's Brad Thorne. He is such a calm character. Anyway, here it was. It went for 80 minutes. We were behind, okay? We had never been in front until the 85th minute of the game. The game only goes 80 minutes, but we kept on going for 5 minutes. They had two blokes yellow carded after the 80 minutes was over. The game just kept on going and going, and it finished something like this.
It's play on! They go wide! They go wide! They get the try! It's O'Connor for Queensland!
The closest thing I've seen at Suncorp to Origin without being Origin. It was such a crowd that just went berserk.
You can't help but be drawn in those moments.
Oh, God,
like that, can't you?
And it is redemption. James O'Connor, who we speak about before, we've talked about him being redeeming himself, the ultimate, the redemption concluded on Saturday. He's become a human being of quite gigantic steps he's made to change his life around from becoming an individual who was a wanker to becoming a team player and now the leader, and he scored every point. And thank God he's still got a little bit of good bloke in him.
Thank you, Queensland. It's awesome. Look at this turnout. How good.
Really good, as
yes.
he said. And then there was my favourite, Fraser McWright, who got man of the match, etc. He was
man of the match, Fraser McWright, still in his playing kit the morning after.
Woo!
Now that's, he went to school with my son.
That's
what I like to see. Still with your boots on, ready. Is there another game going on? Listen, for anyone who's going, what next for the Reds? Of course, now we have to start playing the New Zealand teams. We'll find out whether we are any good.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, you might have seen it in social media, etc. But a bit of a fight down at Logan Brothers the other day. It was an under-13 game, and it was pretty ugly. The adults got involved. It wasn't on the field between the players. They were doing their thing, and the adults went nuts.
Just keeps going on.
Yeah,
it's awful.
And on. It was awful. Someone got kicked in the head and badly injured at one stage. And you said to me only, I reckon, on Thursday or Friday that your young blokes play down at Carina.
Yeah, it had been brought to our attention via our Junior Rugby League Football Club Facebook page. The first weekend you know, back into the season of footy.
Yeah.
There had been an incident between some of the clubs and some of the parents and a referee where they were seen to be abusing a referee, and so therefore a warning was sort of put out saying, hey guys, we shouldn't have to address this, but parent behaviour on the sideline, you know, there's a line. Don't cross it.
It's a game.
It's a game. They're kids. It's first game back. Come on, can we be, you know, responsible? And then we see those scenes on the weekend out at Kitchener Park, Wynnum, where six on one, Marto, like just disgusting. And
there's all sorts of angles to it.
Yeah.
And Margo, I think we've actually got a call from someone who might have witnessed it.
David, I've been told that you were out there on the weekend and might have seen the blue at well, when was it? Was it halftime or full time?
No, it was during the game, Marto. Yeah, I was out there. I coached the under nines South Graceful Hounds, and we're on the field next to it.
Right. Is this David Miles?
Yep, that's me.
You used to play for the Gold Coast and the Titans.
Yeah, and the Cowboys, yeah, a long time ago, Marto.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, mate.
So you're coaching the under-9s team, and the under-13s is on the field next door, and yeah. There seems to be a blue, what looks to be one parent v six others. What was the circumstances surrounding the events of this happening?
Yeah, that pretty much, we just heard some commotion and everything stopped in all the fields and just turned around, and there would have been a dozen parents or spectators anyway on the field and just punching on. It was violent and unnecessary, Margo, to be honest. It was a really horrible look for our game.
Well, it left one man so badly injured. He had facial injuries that he required surgery because he was kicked in the face by someone who came in late.
Was
it was
horrible.
Disgusting.
Hey, Dave, did you get the same message? Margo's tied up at Karina with her young fella. Did you get the same message to everyone to have a look at themselves in the next few weeks? The sort of the league's come down and said, listen, let's start behaving like human beings.
Yeah, yeah. I think, but that's a given, isn't it? I would have thought.
Think so. You know,
this is an under-13s game, Mother's Day of all things, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Parents just need to sit down. I mean, I'm vocal on the sideline, but it's encouragement. It's yes, go, run, tackle, try. That's where
positive.
It needs to be left. Parents getting involved is actually ruining the game.
Dave, have you had to talk to any of your parents to just calm the farm?
Yeah, and it's difficult, Marto, because I live in an area where it's a rugby. It's a lot of private schools, and it's
Taylor
quite hard.
Bridge, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get kids to play league, and a lot of that comes down to what happened on the weekend. So I've got a lot of mums from school. Yeah, come down. I'll coach the boys, and you know half of them saw that, mate. And then it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It's not our game, you know. Like our kids are out there having fun with the other little kids, and it was a good. And they turn around and that's happening. You know, they get scared. The other parents go, what the heck have I got my kid into? You know, and it's just a horrible look for the whole sport from a few people.
I mean, we've got enough bad press going on at the moment around rugby league and the media at the top professional level. Like, we need to be starting from scratch, having a clean slate, teaching these young boys respect and consideration. And it stems from parent behaviour. And this is learned behaviour that's then going to filter through this game for years. And we need to stamp it out now.
Dave, what an honour to have you ring. More than 120 games in NRL and three test matches for the USA.
Yeah, that's a little bit loose, that one. But yeah. Hey, I went to Vegas once and they gave me a jersey.
You're too good. Thanks for ringing, Dave.
No worries, guys.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much.
You get players like David Miles used to play in the backs for, incredible that he rang up. But he got all his aggression out. Maybe is it parents trying to relive through their kids their disappointments of their own playing careers?
Well, for 16 years I sat beside Corey's parents and watched him play. Never said a word. Nothing ever came out of their mouth. They just sat, they watched, and then they talked to him after the game if they wanted to say something to him about his form on the field.
Does anyone have a theory on why this is happening? How it's going on? Well, you guys listening right now, you see all of Brisbane, you see the good, bad. I go and watch AFLW this time of year, and also I've been watching rugby.
Yeah,
I haven't seen an incident this
year. No, is this a one-off thing? Is this happening really infrequently, or is it something that you see at your junior sport? I mean, it's not just limited to rugby league. It's across all sports we see this sort of behaviour. 133 53, or text us on the burner phone 0484101045. We want to get your thoughts on it. What do you think?
What's going on at your junior sport? Any trouble?
Mary from Mount Crosby, you've got daughters that play netball, do you?
Yes, daughters used to play netball, yeah.
What do they do out at netball?
Oh, one time there was so many parents being verbally aggressive to the umpires and the children on the courts that one Saturday we had no parent was allowed to make a comment or you'd be escorted off the,
wow,
off the area.
At netball, what they were having a go at these. Netball. Some of those netball referees are 16 years of age, and they make mistakes occasionally.
Yeah, it wasn't just the referees; it was also the little girls playing. Their parents being so abusive to them. Yeah.
Goodness, Mary, what sort of parent are you on the sideline? Are you vocal? Like I openly admit that I cheer and I say,
positive.
"Go, Wiley!" It's positive encouragement. You know that some kids actually really thrive off and enjoy. What sort of parent are you?
I'm like you, Margot. Yeah. It's all positive. Yeah, and if you've got nothing good to say, don't say
it. Don't say it at all. Exactly. Old school, Mary. Yeah. We were taught that as kids. If you've got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all.
Good call, Mary. Actually, the netball seems to have got it right. Don't make any noise if it's not good. John from Arachula, what have you seen?
Yeah, some of the behaviour on the sidelines deplorable. We're playing under 10s on the weekend, and some of the carry-on from the people on the sideline is disgraceful. There'd be a ref there, I reckon, he'd never ref before. You've got kids that have never played before.
Yeah.
Some that are good in the other teams. And, one of the fellas, punish them, and then abusing the ref and then telling the kid, tell the ref this. And by the end of the game, one of the kids is, telling the ref what to do. And I'm like, mate, that's not on.
What do you think should happen to parents like that? And obviously we've seen this footage of this brawl happening where there was violent scenes. Should they be banned completely from the game? Like, does someone higher up need to come in and stamp this out?
Well, it's a tough one because there's one of those league officials right there. He could hear everything.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to get involved because the type of fella it was, if anyone said something, he'd want to be confrontational.
Well, ultimately, they're parents. You know, as a parent of the game spectating, you nominate someone to run the flag, someone to run the drinks, and someone to be duty official.
And someone's the field marshal.
And they're just a parent. Maybe we need to bring someone who's more official to be a duty official, perhaps, John. Do you think that would help?
Are you asking, John, whether we need a paid security dude?
Possibly, but Margo, it's hard to get volunteers at your club.
It most certainly is.
A lot of people just want to sit there and drop little Johnny off and thanks, and then, it's a done and dusted deal for them. So,
hey, John, was this rugby league we're talking about?
It might have been.
Right, that's okay.
I actually had a conversation to a couple of the parents afterwards, and I said, the difference is you've got a guy there yelling at some poor ref, and the ref was like apologising to me after the game. I said, mate, this is under 10s. I don't care, mate. It goes each way. We're not even playing for results. I've got kids out here that never played. Just carry on. Ignore what happened. But you see it in the league, like good old Paulie Gallen was the king of it. Right up in the ref's face, abuse him. Right? In union, the ref just turns to you and goes, you the captain? No, walk away, please.
Thanks, John. On another scale, and this is related but unrelated, I can't cop referees getting too close to players. Like, they know all their names. Just call them by the number. That's a big time. But we're talking kids' sport here. Marcus from Gordon Park, what are you seeing, mate?
Yeah, look, I refereed rugby league for nearly 15 years.
Okay.
Probably did 1,000 games of junior and senior rugby league.
So, Marcus, you would have experienced this possibly firsthand. Is this something that happens regularly, or is this just a once-off occurrence where parents are getting involved and scenes of violence are happening at games?
Look, over those years, Margot, I certainly saw it quite a few times. I mean, you do that many games, you do see that sort of percentage of the society that can't control themselves. But I would say the large majority of people probably sound like, yourself or myself when I go to watch my kids play. Or they're just there to support them and hopefully have a good game.
Yeah.
Marcus, I only refereed for a few years, junior rugby union, but I once went over and did the classic offering the whistle to an idiot who was yelling out at me. Did you ever try that?
No, I didn't.
Them feel about 2 inches tall. It's a wonderful way to cut them down.
I actually had to address, Marto, and I thought I'd just come to full admission here. I actually had to address a referee once at halftime about a try that he allowed my son. I said, mate, that was a knock on. Don't give him the try.
Oh, that's
how
okay.
How is he going to learn the lesson? I said, can you please next time he doesn't put the ball down properly?
Don't give
it to him. Disallowed try. Don't give it to him.
Stickler.
Thanks for your calls, everyone.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Bert Newton had had his right leg amputated after an infection, and he had diabetes and had to cut his leg off below his knee to save his life.
Marta, I saw that he had an infection in his toe.
Mm, that's what happened,
that
no
led
circulation.
To a leg amputation. That's a why not just the ankle? Why not just a foot amputation? Why a leg?
Excellent idea.
How far up? Like kneecap over the knee, under the knee?
If I was a surgeon, I'd probably have the answer, but surprisingly, I'm not. I don't know, but they often do take it below the knee and then they cauterise it and away he goes.
What sort of infection do you reckon? Are we
diabetic infection. They just don't heal because they don't have any circulation. Oh, no. Ingrown. He probably stubbed it. What happens when you've got diabetes and poor circulation? You don't even feel when you hit your hit your leg and hit your feet. Yeah, and you'll get cuts and go, and then they don't heal and stuff
gangrene.
Like that. All right, let's just talk about Bert, though, rather than the infection part. Bert was an absolute legend. Like, TV was only invented in the mid-50s and he came on soon after the invention. Mm. They decided what was going to happen. There was no template. No one going, let's do what they used to in TV.
They made it up. The pioneers.
And he was a genius. Him and Graham Kennedy, when I was a young kid, used to go, it was probably too adult for me, but I used to go, they're making everyone laugh. They must be bloody good at what they do. But saw him over the years, kept doing one day he came into the studio, and this is when he'd given up with the hair because everyone used to go, what's going on with Bert's head? You know, what's that hair?
A toupee.
You didn't know it was a toupee until finally towards the end of his career, they brought it in a box one day and Bert came in, had a hat on, took it off and he's totally bald. I went, Jesus. And then the girl, the publicist, had the box with a mannequin's head with Bert's hair.
And used to brush it.
And Bert put it on and said, oh, sorry about that. It was sort of a joke towards the end of his career. He was a genius, Bert. And you know what? He must have had a good attitude to life. I never knew him personally. Interviewed him a few times. But his wife, Patty, like they were royalty and all the rest of it. Listen to this. Does this sum up Bert Newton's attitude?
I don't think he's thought about it too much. Bert's one of those people, if he doesn't really like what's happening, he just pretends it's not.
See, I love that.
That's a just good way to look at life.
Just compartmentalise thing. That's how you do it.
Doesn't exist. Out of sight, out of mind.
That's how I dealt with cancer. About it. They told me I had cancer many years ago and I pretended I didn't have it and moved on and it went away. I don't know how that happened. Now, hopefully that Bert's leg might grow back like a lizard.
Please
don't
take that as medical advice, anybody. If you have cancer, please seek treatment.
Oh, no, I had treatment first and then I pretended it didn't happen. Is this making any sense to either of you?
Yeah, no, I get it.
All right, but what I do want to talk about here was Bert's lost his leg, and I know some people think it's funny, et cetera. There's been memes about it.
I only thought it was funny because the Petuda Advocate put out a meme about it and said that the only worry that Bert Newton will now have is the SAS drinking from his prosthetic leg.
I know, and that's funny, and you've got to make light of the thing, and you know what? Bert would appreciate that.
Would laugh.
And you know what else Bert would appreciate? He would appreciate me doing one of these.
CSI Model.
An investigation.
A complete investigation into when you lose not just a limb, a finger, anything off your body, but also internal organs.
Kidney stones.
Yeah.
A liver.
Put them in the jar.
Appendix.
You can ask the doctor, a plum?
In your pants.
Testicle, of course. If you lose your testicle. I remember when my dog had his two testicles taken off and they said, do you want them? And I said, yep, I'd like them in a jar. But then when I looked at them, I said, oh, no, I can't take them home. That'll just taunt him. Because I kept one of my cartilages in a jar for years. I kept my kids' teeth.
I kept one of my kids' umbilical cords for a little bit and then it started to get a bit stinky, so I threw it out.
Well, I'm hoping that Bert kept his festering leg and maybe put it in a fish tank. You know, that would be perfect.
Have it embalmed.
There's
and then
me leg.
Hang it on the wall.
People do this.
You reckon?
I don't know.
It's like people who taxidermy their animals.
Oh, yeah. What
they would be the sort of people that would keep their own body
bits
parts,
of people.
I reckon.
All right. That's all I want to know. And maybe no one will ring, but I've got a feeling somebody out there will have a body part in a jar somewhere and I want to hear about it.
Can be any body part.
It doesn't have to be your... Oh, yeah, it has to be
Hopefully
yours.
It's
otherwise,
not someone else's.
The police will investigate.
Call now.
Phil from Joiner. Good morning, 133353.
What, did someone ring?
Yeah, a few people rung, Marto. I'm suspicious.
What did we want, though?
It says, have you got a body part in a jar? Phil?
No, I don't have a body part, but my mate Benny, he got his finger bitten off in a fight. Mm. And he keeps a freezer and he chucks in his mate sandwiches every now and then.
Hold on. How old is the finger? Like, where I wanted them in a jar. What does he keep it in?
In the freezer.
In the freezer. And what just pulls it out?
Every now and then.
He pulls it out and every now and then he'll throw it in a mate's mate sandwich so they can have a bite as well.
Now, Phil, how did he get it back? Like during the fight, I haven't had a finger bitten off yet. I'm looking forward to that day. What a blue that'd be. But what finger is it first?
His pinky finger.
Pinky, yeah, that's a passenger anyway. The pinky, we could all do without
just
that.
Just hanging on.
How did he get it after the fight? Like the fight finished, and he went, "He's got me finger," and some bloke's chewing on something. What happened?
Hey, just picked it up off the floor.
Off the floor, of course. Where did it happen?
Threw it in the freezer.
Where was the stink?
I think it was at my sister's place.
Of course it was.
Oh, my goodness.
What a story.
I feel like we've opened ourselves up for.
But all right.
All
I didn't
here.
Get a chance. Phil's gone. Thank you, Phil, from joining. That was enlightening.
And we got a text on the burner phone from Chucky from Bucken. Hey, Chucky, on the bar at home. He's got the crown jewels from their dog. My daughter went through a bad breakup. When the next bloke turned up on site, I told him that's what happened to the last guy that broke my daughter's heart. They're a good motivation tool to have around.
Good work, Chucky. Tim from the Gold Coast, tell us your story.
Many years ago, as a kid, I was in my grandfather's garage and just going through, as you do, fossicking around, and found a little box. And in it were a pair of ears.
Come on. So both of them, that's good.
Two ears.
Both ears, and they were in cotton wool, and I ran out of there like I'd seen a ghost.
Did you ever find out whose ears they were?
They were my grandfather's.
They were his. So what did he have on his head?
How did he wear glasses?
He didn't wear glasses, and he didn't. He basically had little stubbles there. I remember as a sort of young adult.
What happened to them? Why did he have no ears?
He has suffered a lot of skin cancer through after the war.
Hey.
He's a pretty fair-headed guy, and for some reason, he. Had the ears in the box in the garage.
That's extraordinary. What happened when Granddad died? Who got them? Yeah, how everyone gets. Oh, you have that table. You
did
have
he leave
a
them
fight
to anyone?
Have his old
in the will.
Did everyone? Who?
My brother moved into the house several years later with his family.
Don't tell me you threw them.
I think he may have because didn't really want to go back there, but like. Yeah, I mean, what do you do? It's not exactly a memento you're going to hang on the wall.
No, I don't know about that. I think it's something quite special.
Hang off it.
We're finding out today. You could add it to someone's
sandwich.
Thank you
so much, Jim. Fascinating story.
Fascinating. Chris from Morayfield.
Morning, guys.
Yeah,
good morning.
What have you got? Is it an internal organ or a out?
I think the trend of the day is it's not me, but someone I know lost his finger to a drop saw.
Yeah.
Got it in formaldehyde, and then he cast it in resin, and it's now his keychain.
Oh my God! Oh,
magnificent.
What? Which finger again? Ooh, that might be
his
an important.
Pointer.
Oh, his pointer. Jeez, you
left
that.
Pointer.
Yeah, left or right? Let it be left. Yeah, where he's holding it down. Hey,
he could fasten a bottle top opener to it,
oh
and
my
use
God,
it as a bottle opener.
Imagine.
That'd be good.
Chris, if you see him, can you make Margot's suggestion to him? Open stubbies with it.
Probably try.
Oh, no.
Good on you, Chris. Going to give you $100
weirded out by this.
To spend at CNL Tools Banyo, where you want to buy tools, not talk to one. CLToolCentre.com.au.
CSI.
Case solved. You're feeling
investigation over.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Corey's going around the house. Stock is Margo's busy parking orders. Time for At Home with Parkers.
Oh, Mardo, Mother's Day was on Sunday, and I hate to bring it up 3 days later, but I got some late mail from our five-year-old daughter, River, the youngest one. She's in prep, and yesterday afternoon she brought me home from school like a scroll, you know, like a bit of paper rolled up with a bow on it.
Was this your Mother's Day gift?
And she had forgot to bring it home from school, so she found it in her bag, and she brought it in to me, and she said, "Mum, I wrote this for you. Can you read it to me?" So I said, "Okay, sure." So I'm going to read it to you because I found it relatively cute and amusing. It says, "My mum is blank 32 years old."
Oh,
and I was
congrats.
Like, off to a good start. She's shaved 4 years off me. The Botox is working. She said, "My mum's favourite food is chocolate and red Skittles." And
I've never seen you eat any chocolate and red Skittles.
Well, she loves Skittles, and I just like always pick out the red ones because they're her least favourite colour. I don't like the red ones. She says, "Mum, you can have that one." So then she's now decided.
So that becomes your favourite food.
Because it's her least favourite, and they're the only ones she gives me. It's now become my favourite food. It says, "My mum always says I love you so much. And I was like, that's true. Yeah. I do say I love you so much all the time. She's the cutest little thing. She's a bloody legend.
She's your baby.
She's the baby, but she's just got so much get up and go about her. She's literally a legend. I'm just like, I love this chick. She's awesome. It says, it makes my mum happy when I tidy up after I make a mess. And I'm like, oh, she has been listening. You know when you think your kids aren't listening?
Does she actually, though?
And you tell them 10 times to clean up.
Get the towel off the floor.
All I say to them is, just clean up your mess. I just want you to put it away. It's and, all I do.
Yeah, she's got that written down there for Mother's Day. Has she ever cleaned anything up?
No.
No.
If I could get my mum anything for Mother's Day, I would get her a bouquet of flowers and some rainbow Skittles. Girl after my own heart. This girl does know me in just a short space of time already.
Except for the age bit.
And then we get to this bit where she says, my mum's job is pretty simple. Talks for a living, maybe perhaps works on the radio. They listen to me in the morning on, in the car on the way to school. My mum's job is doing the dishes and parking the car in the garage when there's lightning.
Is that it?
That's what it says. My job is to park the car in the garage when there's lightning. I think this must have been relatively relevant. It was, you know, top of mind for her because my job was to, the last two nights, the put the cars in the garage while there was lightning.
Nailed it, River.
How's she going to go with the nap land?
Not very well.
Corey going stalkers, Michael parking orders, that was at home with the puckers.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Kath and I were on the phone, like I just on loudspeaker last night, to a couple who are mates of ours, and we started to talk about mozzie coils, okay? Because we're going, how come there's still have you got any mozzies at this time?
Not really.
They should be just about gone, but we were talking about how hard they are, two things, and that's what this is about, the hardest thing to open, 133353. You know when you buy them in the can, not just in the packets of mozzie coils?
Yeah.
It's hard to get that
tin lid off so quickly
after you open it. To open it the second time, as soon as it oxidizes, it gets stuck. There's one. It's as if they don't want you to use the mozzie coils, and then when you actually get to the mozzie coils...
The packet's hard to open.
Well, yeah, it is.
And then they break.
And then when you... Why do they have to put them together? With all the technology we've got, why can't they just stack each mozzie coil on top of each other and you simply slide one out and put it on?
Because they like almost like join them in together and they sit inside each other. Yeah, they are annoying.
Mozzie coils. And then we started going salsa tins, you know, the salsa jars.
Oh, salsa dip.
Jars of salsa dip. Now, all jars can be a little bit hard. I don't know how old people or fragile girls or fragile anyone with a weak wrist. I've got good hand grip. How do other people open those bloody jars?
I found a trick to it, Marto. You hit the lid on the corner of the bench, like tap, 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 and that just knocks the air out of it a little bit, and then it's still tough, like you got to twist it.
Why do they make it so wide? Why can't they have a narrower head on the jar? All right, there's two.
Because then you can't dip your fingers in it when you dip your corn chip in.
Bundaberg ginger beer. That can be nasty. Like in all the technology.
Tins of tuna?
Tins of tuna.
Because it cuts open.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah, the little lever.
We have so much technology these days. Why make things so hard to open? You know what is one of the hardest things to open?
Christian from the Gold Coast has called through 133353. Marto wants to know what's the hardest thing to open. What do you reckon it is?
I almost blew your cover, Christian. Come on.
It's a pair of scissors.
Absolutely. Because you need scissors to open the scissors.
Exactly.
But you bought the scissors because you don't have any scissors in the first place.
Yeah.
They should call the scissors just irony because that's what it is. You go, I need some scissors.
Because they always come in like a plastic thing and they like seal that edge around and you can't get
Sometimes
it open unless you cut it through.
Cable ties involved.
It's rubbish.
Nightmare. It's rubbish. Next thing you know, you need a dentist because you've ruined your teeth. Anyway, can we kick it off at those? And if you've got, tell me about mozzie coils if you want to go further on them.
I reckon toothbrushes used to be the same. Oh, they were really hard to get into until they then put that little peel bit of cardboard, you know, like
the perforated edge
at the back now. But that used to be the same. You used to never be able to rip the plastic away from the cardboard.
They must have listened to customer complaints.
Maybe. Adam from Norman Park, 133353. What do you find difficult to open?
Mate, the kids' toys. When you go and give them a present, they want to play with it, and you've got these little twist things around wheels. You've got sticker, sticky tape. You've got everything all over it. It's impossible to get out.
Now, is that to so kids don't kill themselves or something while you're not watching? What is all that stuff? Why can't they just rip into it?
They've got those flat black plastic things that you've got to turn a certain way so many times to unscrew. Then you've got the little wired, like twisty things that you've got to do. Then you've got the zippy ties you've got to cut. And then you've got to get it out of the box.
Can you remind me of
the sticky tape across the seal of the box? That's always a pain in the butt to try and
if you and I
open.
ever start a toy company, can we remember make it easy to get into? Make everything easy.
I'll note that down for you, Marty.
Like they should be as easy as peeling a banana. That's how things should. Oh, who else have we got?
Vicky.
Hi.
Good morning, Vicky from Good. Now, what do you find hard to open?
Childproof medication bottles.
Like Panadol. You got to push and twist and pull and squeeze all at the same time.
Yeah, it gives you a headache just opening it.
What's the worst one, do you reckon, Vicky?
The worst one would be probably, like your
Panadol
little antibiotics. Or your antibiotics that you get from the chemist.
Yes.
I can understand 5 litre hydrochloric acid drums, okay? I understand they need to be, tough to open. But if you're trying to fix your kid up and it's crying and sniffling and it's all bad, let me into that bugger.
Now you got to push and twist and pull and Greg from up at Coomera. It's a pain. Mm. What do you find a pain to open?
I find a can of corned beef.
Thank God. That's what I saw.
One of the where you've got that little key and you have to sort of stick it in the side and you twist it around.
Are you stuck in the jungle somewhere, Greg? Why are you eating canned corned beef? There's fresh meat here in Australia. Come on, Greg.
I will say, though, when you are camping, my husband likes to take that braised, braised beef in a can. And he took it away with him and it didn't have a, he didn't take a can opener, so they had to use a knife.
Greg, I feel sorry for you. boot polish container from Lucas from Cooper.
Oh, that's a good one. That's got the little lever that you pop it off.
Sardine tins, little batteries, heaps.
All right, I can see a group action. Let's get some cheap-ass lawyers and we'll fight these people.
Vicky, we're going to give you a double pass to go see Let It Be Live. See Cram, Darren Middleton, Mark Wilson and Davey Lane play The Beatles' Let It Be Live.
Where at?
At Fortitude Music Hall, July 17. Get your tickets at livenation.com.
Can we get some sort of voucher for a butcher from somewhere?
Triple M's Big
Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
We're only hours away from the magic round sportsman's lunch we're holding, the Big Do at the Regatta Hotel, and one of the stars who'll be joining us on stage to tell stories from the old days when rugby league was properly tough. Mark Geyer, MG, how are you, mate?
Marto, Margo, how are we?
Magic round this weekend, MG. The atmosphere at Suncorp Stadium is electric. This wasn't around when you used to play. Would a concept like this have been something to be a part of?
Oh, Margo, for sure. I think it's ingenious what they've done.
What's so good about it?
I think it's because we get every... I think what we're going to see is the players will lift because they're in front of their contemporaries. And usually you go to a game and you're playing, but these games are going to be watched by everybody. And even those players that don't usually watch footy games of a weekend, they just rather concentrate on their own backyard. Well, they'll be watching. And I think this will go up about 5 or 10%. In quality. And, the only thing I'm worried about is I saw the Reds play in their grand final win over the Brumbies and the ground was a little bit chopped up. I hope that's okay for the 8 games over 3 games.
Mate, I saw Mal, the groundsman, the other night and he said, they've been ready for this since January. They've been aware they're going to have 8 games and they didn't know the Reds were going to be playing the previous weekend, but he said, ground's fine, mate. So
nice.
You know how they got fibre mesh inside just underneath the grass. Not like our backyards. They know what they see.
Contemporary draining and all that.
Hey, what about Penrith? You must be loving what's going on there.
It's something to behold, isn't it, really? It's, 24 or 25 games, comp games, that is. Obviously, there's a big asterisk around November last year with the grand final.
Yeah.
But as far as comp games go, 9 in a row this year, we've got to go way back to find a team that was so dominant. And they just seem to be doing it with a big smile on their face.
MG, would you say that confidence is the key to success? Because there's a real air of confidence. I mean, some people are referring to it as an arrogance in and around Penrith and Parramatta at the moment, but it's confidence-based, isn't it?
100%, Margo. 100%. And look at poor buggers at the moment down the bottom of the ladder in the Bulldogs. And yesterday, the day before yesterday, we saw a young guy, Flanagan, reduced to tears. You know, and I've got a son that age, and my heart's breaking for him because it's only a game at the end of the day, and the pressure this kid's on. He's been brought over to a new club. He's holding the whole franchise on his shoulders, and he broke down, and I felt for him. I really did. I think at that moment then I thought to myself, you know what, this is only a game, and this kid, if he's unhappy doing what he's doing, well, he shouldn't be doing it probably.
I guess it's no surprise today at the regatta in a few hours' time. We're going to get you. Would it be too much if I sprang it on you and said you're going to be on stage with Wally Lewis and I? Is that okay? You've probably done that before, have you?
That's fine, mate. I'll tell you a quick story about the King and I. I won't tell you everything because I'll let it all out today at the regatta.
Yeah.
When we had that blow-up back in the day in Origin, I got suspended for 6 weeks.
Did you first get game suspended back, for that?
Yeah, I never played Origin again. Never played Origin again after that. Oh. I was told to go and bash people, and when I did, I got penalised.
Oh.
So anyway, the first game back was against the whatever carnation they were then, the Titans or the
Chargers or the Seagulls, Chargers, whatever.
And,
yeah.
And Wally was captain coach of that team. I thought, oh, this is ironic that I'm playing my first game back against him. I'm going to come out with some revenge. And he pulled out. He didn't play. Oh. So I'm back at Seagulls club there after the game. I think we beat them pretty well. And I'm sitting there waiting for him to come in. And, you know, I'm 23 years of age. I've got testosterone running through me like it's no tomorrow. And I wanted to punch on with the King. I wanted some revenge. I'm standing there as players walk through the door. That's not him. Ah, that's not him. And then I got a tap on the shoulder, and I looked around, and here's Wally with two glasses and a jug of beer.
Oh!
He said, come on, buddy, let's go and sit down and talk this out. So we did. We sat up with each other all night, and from that day forward, we've helped each other a lot. I helped his causes with his young daughter, who was deaf at the time, and still is, but his charities, my charities, that he's helped out with, and we were both ambassadors for Best Sheds for a long time, and I can't wait to see Wal.
Queensland is going to love you. MG, you're a bloody champion. We'll see you in a few hours' time, mate.
Can't wait. Thank you, guys.
Triple M's Legends Lunch happening today at the Regatta Hotel, Brisbane's most iconic venue, and it's the perfect place to catch up with mates to watch the game.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
You know, you briefly mentioned that bloke up in Cairns early, a couple of hours ago on the show.
He stole the ride on lawnmower.
Yeah.
He's getting up, away.
But he pulled up and said wanted to buy it, took it for a test drive and kept going.
A guy had it for sale and he said, I'm going to take it for a test drive, and he never come back with it.
So that's just flogging a bloke's lawnmower. All right. I've had two things stolen over the year. Like, this is what I want to talk. 133353. If you're going to be a thief, steal something worthwhile. Someone stole my whippersnipper one day from my yard.
Really?
And it wasn't even, and I understand, I've heard stories like people get halfway through doing their footpath with the whippersnipper, put it down, and people think that's left out as hard rubbish, and they grab
it. Take it.
Mine was actually in the driveway, so someone had to walk onto my property. Who walks down the road? Like, who thinks that's a great idea to steal? What,
who leaves their stuff lying around for it to be stolen?
Well, I went and did something. I don't know whether I was made a phone call or went and got a drink or something or other. It was down for 5 minutes and someone stole. Like, what is it? Who goes, I'll grab that? It's a whippersnipper. If you're going to go to jail, don't go to jail over a whippersnipper. That's all. Have you ever had anything stolen from your house?
I'm just thinking, no, we've never been broken into or had anything stolen.
All right, I'll give you another one. Years ago, I was living up here at Red Hill with Kath, our first house, years ago, someone stole our washing machine. Like, they are so heavy. They drove in. That's the only thing that went was the washing machine. Like, whose does that?
Someone who needed to do some laundry.
But when the judge goes, oh, listen, I'm going to have to give you 3 years, it's not worth it for a washing.
We had a Graham text through from Browns Plains saying someone stole his Broncos garden gnome out the front of the front garden.
Yeah, no.
0484101045. Right. Text us on the burner phone anytime. 133353.
So we've made ourselves clear. It's silly stuff that's been stolen from your house.
Yeah, or maybe if you want to dob yourself in, silly stuff that you've stolen. You can stay anonymous.
Is this
maybe
on the back of that night you said you stole some clothes off someone's clothesline, Dave?
Yeah, I was a bit sourced up. I thought it would be a good idea. I returned them.
I stole a knife once and a set of champagne goblets. Does that count? I thought we were talking about stuff that people stole from you.
Yeah, I'd rather.
Seems no one's taken much from me, but I may have souvenired a few different things.
133353.
Weird glasses. Things you've stolen. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next.
Or had stolen from you. Paul from Chermside West. Paul from West Chermside, help me out.
Morning, gang. How are we?
Yeah, good, mate.
Paul, someone steal something or did you get something stolen?
One of my mates was in the army. He was a tanky driver up there 30 years ago. And he got dismissed for being a naughty boy. And he got on the rum one night. And then the next morning he went back into Lavericks and took a tank.
Like an army tank?
Army tank.
Yeah, an army tank. He went for a drive.
That's inconspicuous.
Did he leave the base?
Yeah, he went down the road. He ran over a cop car. And then he went to the Cluden racetrack and started doing laps.
Oh,
what else do you do?
How much trouble, we may as well tell us, how much trouble did he get in?
I think he got six. The only reason he got caught because it ran out of fuel.
Oh, jeez.
It's the only thing that stops a tank.
Check the fuel tank.
Okay, I wasn't
Mick
expecting
from Kamira's
that.
Mick text through, 0484101045. Someone stole a garden hose reel and all of his wife's thongs. Ha, 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 ha. Mick thought it was funny.
What? Here's Theo. Someone stole three of our solar lights from the front yard and left one.
Oh.
That's bizarre.
Paul.
What is that? And that's what I'm talking about, stealing stupid stuff.
Dan from the Gold Coast, 133353. What happened? Did someone steal something?
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you? About 10, 11 years ago, in the old days before these flash phones, we had someone break into the house, completely ransacked the entire house, all four bedrooms.
Yeah.
And all he ended up leaving with was a bag full of chargers, like old Nokia chargers and DVD, portable DVD chargers and... Didn't take any of the things that you charge.
Just
nothing, the charges. Nothing at all. I think it was a Swiss Army knife and about four or five different charges.
He'd broken in
and bare feet, and we were one of about five properties. And he got caught about an hour later at the local BP trying to, I don't know what he was doing,
charge
pretending to get fuel without a vehicle.
He was a little bit confused. Jeez.
Michael from Mount Gravatt, 133353. What did you get stolen, Michael?
Good morning. Well, look, some years ago I was in Super Cheap Auto, and whilst I was there, I saw these little flash caps for your tie valves. You know, the little caps you put on your tie valve.
Yeah.
They were silver, they looked nice, they were $1.50. And I thought, yeah, no worries, I'll grab these, put them on the car. That weekend I went to the kids' footy match, watched the game, came back to the car, and they had been stolen.
Gone!
They impressed. Somebody was so impressed with... bright and shiny screw caps. Oh, Jesus. Imagine, what are you in for? A murder. What are you in for? A little air valve screw cap.
Stealing air valves.
Hey, Michael, going to give you a double pass to go see Infamous, the show. Book now for the adults-only Infamous Cabaret Circuit. Oh. Infamous.net.au.
Hold on. There's one in every group. No name. So anonymous on the burner phone, Margo. Stole a real estate for sale sign out of a yard. Okay.
Mm.
And put it in another neighbour's yard that I didn't like.
Got him.
Yeah, bang.
Take that.
Yeah.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30. The Big Breakfast, plays of the week.
What a week it's been on The Big Breakfast. It's time to have a look back at some of the plays of the week, starting with Marto. On Monday, he told us about some space junk plummeting back to Earth, and he noticed that the location of where it's expected to land could be bad news for one of our great former Aussie cricketers.
It's landed near the Maldives, okay?
Ooh. Who's there, Michael Slater?
And it's him, the Prime Minister. It'll be your fault.
Next up, Margot Parker, who got a Mother's Day gift a little late from her youngest daughter, River. But turns out it was worth the wait.
It says, my mum is like 32 years old.
Oh,
and I was
congrats.
Like, off to a good start. She's shaved 4 years off me. The Botox is working.
It was a big week of guests on The Big Breakfast. We had Jim Jefferies, we had Neil Finn and Mark Geyer ahead of the Legends Lunch at the Regatta ahead of Magic Round, which featured how do you say this word, Margo?
Plethora of sports stars.
During their chat with MG, he told Marto and Margo what happened the first time he came face-to-face with King Wally following their infamous Origin blow-up.
Yeah, I'm 23 years of age. I've got testosterone running through me like it's tomorrow, and I wanted to punch on with the King. I want some revenge. And then I got a tap on the shoulder, and I looked around, and here's Wally with two glasses and a jug of beer.
Oh.
He said, come on, buddy, let's go and sit down and talk this out. So we did, and we sat up with each other all night, and from that day forward, we've helped each other a lot.
And this morning on the show, Margo went below the belt during the almost nearly died How Far Did You Fall edition.
One of the purlins wasn't bolted in properly, and so
it rolled.
Shifted as I hit it.
Yeah.
I fell through the wire.
Ooh.
The wire ripped the groin open and was just bleeding claret like a no man.
Oh, no.
And
How's
just
the
lucky for me.
Well, they're okay.
I know she says that to everyone, John. Yeah, continue.
If you missed any of the shows, you can grab them all at the Listener app, The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy Magic Round. And if you're looking to avoid COVID, maybe try what these fellas are doing in India.
I had this fear that I might get infected, so we started bathing with milk, dung, and urine.
Oh, no.